So what's wrong with that? Okay, so God just blanketly has done this, and so all are saved, therefore nobody really needs to come to faith, right? And so the view is this totality of the fact that God's already done it, we're all in, we really don't need to have any belief. Yes? Okay, what does that, explain that. Okay. 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 So explain a little bit about that. Okay. 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 Which is true, but not. Yeah, I understand, right? Yes. Okay, yes.
The gospel is not political.
Okay. So explain what that means.
Well, you can see, especially now, that both sides of the parties are using the gospel to criticize the other.
Right.
Usually quoting scripture, quoting it wrong.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, good. Yeah, not a political weapon. Good. What else? Sure. Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to correct you. I was just going. It's interesting that often, much of what we hear, there's elements of truth, but they lose the whole truth, if that makes sense. Yes. Right. Sean. Yes.
But they take that a step further and they're saying, well, it's okay if I sin because I live under grace.
Right.
You know, they feel like they're free to sin because we live under grace.
Yes. So do we live under grace or not? No, absolutely, right? There's a complexity to it that I think we need to help. One is we need to ask people what they mean by things, right? Because the law leads us to our need for the gospel and grace. Amen? And we receive grace. And then grace enables us to live holy lives. Where do we find that? In the law. But we're not under the law, but we are called to walk in holiness. And so God says, be holy as I am holy. Well, how long is that going to take you? Yeah, and so, yes, I mean, so there's complexities that I think people often don't get. Yes, sir?
It's not four books.
That's a good one. Yes. Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, it's John's gospel account, right? But that is it's a literary reality, but the gospel is so much bigger. Where's the gospel located then? Genesis 3:15 is all throughout, right? The gospel is constantly throughout. Yes, sir. The gospel is not a club. Help me to understand that. Oh, okay. Club like that. Okay. Well, I thought it was... Right.
Using the gospel saying, Jesus said,
Yes. Right. There was no gospel, too. Yeah, I get that. Yes. Okay. Let's take the other definition of club, as in a group of gathering of people who are entered in. The gospel is not that either, right? That somehow the gospel is a country club, or you know, we're just here and we're all, and that's the gospel. Right? No, we're constantly in need of the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. It's not just church. Now, church is very, very, very important. But we need to be very careful because, so for instance, the Catholic understanding of the church is that the church holds salvation. So you need to enter the church through baptism and then you've got it. No, right? That's not the gospel. Meaning the church should profess and proclaim the gospel, right? But the church is not the gospel. It is formed by the gospel, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is constantly growing us and helping us. Terry. Yes. That's right. Okay, yes, absolutely. But also, even if they're saved proper, right, it's not roses. It's not a bed of roses. People are going to die. People are going to get sick. People are going to get cancer who have trusted the gospel. It's not just everything's going to be fine after this. You know, and so that's true. So what is the gospel? Spell out the gospel. Begin to unpack it, if you would, recognizing that what you might say, others might add on to, rightly so, in order for us to understand the fullness of the gospel. So what is the gospel? It's good news, right? Good. What? Okay. Yes. Okay, so the gospel is found throughout the lineage of Scripture, all throughout the Word of God. What else? What is the gospel?
The finished work.
It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. Help me to understand that. Unpack that for me. Mm-hmm.
So Jesus Christ took on our sin.
Okay.
And received God's wrath on the cross.
Right.
As payment.
Okay.
All sin.
Yes.
Original and actual sin. And died for us. That was the Lamb, the spotless Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And God accepted that as the finished work.
Okay. Okay.
So we receive mercy and grace.
Good. Expand a little bit upon the receiving. God receives that. How do we know he receives that?
Because God doesn't lie.
Uh-huh.
We're told that in the Bible.
Right.
And so it's true.
Right.
And so we've been told by God that we will receive eternal life that we received unto him.
Right. You're right. Also, the resurrection, right? The resurrection. And I know you know that. So hear me, when I ask questions, it's not because I don't think you know that. We often just think of Jesus on the cross. That's the gospel. The gospel is actually the fact that he rose again because God received that and said, it's finished, it's done. And he raised him from the dead so that he conquers death and hell forever, right? So I think sometimes we miss the resurrection as part of the fullness of the finished work. Does that make sense?
I can tell you that I had that happen this week. One of the young lady's students is Catholic.
Yes.
And she's very faithful Catholic.
Yes.
And she looked up at the cross in the Baptist church and she said to me, I mean, Mm-hmm. And I said, because my love, Jesus is an on the cross of the Lord. He finished his work, and he now is with the Father. She said, that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
Wow. That's the gospel, right? She was missing something. Right. Because here's the thing, that often in the Catholic understanding of Calvary, it's through his sufferings. So we have to see the suffering, right? We have to recognize the suffering. In the Passion of the Christ, the blood is very important. It's the suffering, more so than the death and resurrection. You know, there's very little done on that in the Passion. More of it, most of it is brutal suffering, right? And that's a Catholic understanding, right? And yet that's powerful and important as part of the process, but the risen Savior is often not understood in that reality. Good. What else is the gospel? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And I really went out on a limb. It wasn't her takeaway. And I said, oh, I was so hoping you'd be like so excited when you read it. But when this priest is offered for all times one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Because I cannot imagine.
Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. Charles, we're coming around. Say that again. Okay, good. Jamie. Okay. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good. That's wonderful. Yes, Terry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Because of that, we can see our sin and our need for a Savior. And God provided a remedy for that sin through Christ's blood on the cross.
Right.
Because of that, we see it's a sovereign work of heaven. To be an understanding, first you have to realize you're lost. Once you understand it, it's all over Him. How big a thing of grace my God is.
Right. Sure.
She said, that's the good news we hear. Mm-hmm. And that relationship has been reestablished all of it.
Right. Okay, let me expand that a little bit more. The sacrifice doesn't need to happen again and again, right? So why do we preach the gospel? Why do we say, preach the gospel to yourself again and again? Just playing devil's advocate. What's the difference?
Well, Yes, okay. Gratitude versus penance. Okay, why else? Uh-huh. Right. Yes. Reminder is the key word there. It's not happening again and again, but we are preaching the gospel to ourselves because we're easily deceived, right? And we're easily, we beat ourselves up, right? We do a number of things, and so we need to remind ourselves, right, that the finished work of Christ is sufficient. Because we have faulty views. We, good, theologically sound people, have faulty views of the gospel. No, we have a right view, but we often live faulty views, right? So sometimes we beat ourselves up. Like, somehow that's going to help, right? Instead of, yes, we should have sorrow, and we should come with profound sorrow, but sometimes what happens is it's an inward flagellation of ourselves. You know, we punish ourselves, or we view the world through broken lenses, though the gospel has given us all that we need. So we need to remind ourselves of the gospel and the power of the gospel. Communion, right? Communion is, in some ways, two ways, isn't it? It's the gospel in its fullness. It reminds us that we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. It reminds us of our need for the gospel on a daily basis. Not that the gospel is incomplete on a daily basis, but we need it again and again to remind us to grow in that wonderful awareness of God, sacrifice, his love, his finished work. But it's also the means by which I can now live in repentance, right? That it's not now me just going, okay, I got to try harder, I got to do better. It's, Lord, thank you that the gospel enables me. Thank you that I am free from sin, that I don't have to return to. Thank you that your Holy Spirit resides in me. Thank you that you're sufficient, and you've already shown that, right? And so I want to suggest to us that one of the things that is important for us is before we share the gospel, we need to allow it to be, to permeate our lives and bring us joy. There's probably nothing worse than a gospel explanation without joy. You know, without us smiling, almost like, I can't wait to get it all out, right? That should be our response. And so as we think about the gospel, here's the thing. When we're building trust, when we're creating curiosity, as we said, when people are open to change and seeking, this is a journey, right? In that journey, we should always be preaching the gospel, though they're not aware of it. And the gospel isn't just one moment in time where you go, Terry, are you ready? And here it is, here's the gospel, now respond, right? And then we go, he didn't respond, oh no. And then I walk away because, well, that was it. He had his chance and that was done because I gave him the gospel, right? It is a moment in time where sometimes we need to wrap things up, but it should always be coming in. So let's look at some of components that we've already talked about in the gospel. The gospel is all about God, right? And so we need to be, in our conversation, all about God. So we need to, at different times in our conversation, help them to understand who God is. So who is God? He reveals himself in creation, the Word, in the incarnate Word. But tell me characteristics about the person of God that you might need to help people become aware of. He is holy. Right? What does that mean? Tell me what holiness means. It's a religious word. He hates sin. Okay, what else about sin? Okay. So there's justice. So what's justice? God forgives him, but he doesn't forgive him. Is that justice? Okay, so how do we, so what does justice mean? Terry? Okay, giving you. Yes. Justice has to be paid one way or the other. How is justice paid? Okay, Jesus. Or eternity in hell. Do you realize that if it was God's will to have saved Adolf Hitler, right? That's the bar, right? No, it's, I won't go there. That's the bar these days. Not these days, but it always has been. The bar of evil, right? If God in his grace had chosen to awaken Adolf Hitler's heart 2 days before, where would that hideousness have gone? Not on the cross. Because the cross isn't big enough for them. On Jesus. No. Let me, because that's a good, hold on. Because I had somebody in my office talk about their sin and the horror of it and the sorrow of it and the brokenness of it. And she said to me, the cross isn't big enough for my sin. And it was one of those moments where it was like, something's in my mind and it's going to come out. And Lord, unless you govern this, I said, you're right. And the cross is 6 foot by 9 foot, let's just say. Add 2 more feet if you want. It doesn't really matter. It's not big enough. But the one who hung upon it, right? So the one who hung upon it is from eternity past to eternity future. And the furthest star that we have to look through microscopes that we are creating just to see a little speck, he is beyond that reality as he is present right here, right? And so I'm not correcting, right? It's not the cross, it's Christ, right? Because he is big enough. When I said that, I said, now, what you're doing is you're placing that upon Christ. She called me an hour later and she said, for the first time I took a shower and I was clean. Because she said, as I was in that shower, I was doing what you were telling me to do, and it was incredible. Yes, it's judgment. There's judgment, there's justice. It's going to be taken one of two ways, right? But isn't that incredible that when we think of the vileness of that, if God had chosen to do that, all of that would be on Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Okay. Tell me why. Yes. Right. But grace is not a reflection of God's justice. The only reason being because your condemnation in hell is taken on Christ.
Well, at this moment, the word justice is so firmly in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So when we think about God, right, people don't know God. And what I'm saying about that is not that they don't have the inability because of regeneration. We're in this model with the Holy Spirit working, right? So some of what we need to do is instruct. Yes, sir.
I just want to clarify what Tom said. I heard someone explain it to me one time like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Justice would be getting
yes. Yes. Right.
Grace is that judge would say, you're guilty, you're deserving of this penalty, but instead, I'm going to come behind this bench and I'm going to take that penalty for you.
Right.
Justice is giving what you deserve. Mercy is giving
what you don't deserve. What you, not getting what you deserve. Right. But let me just quickly add to that. Grace has to come after mercy because they have to be connected. Because God cannot just say, I have mercy on you, and they have to go together. Yes. Yes. And the judge actually pays the price. Yes. Yes. Okay. So one second. Hold on. Somebody, Jeannie, you had a. We'll come back to love because we have to get there. Yes. Okay, let's go to love, because in the culture we live in, if God is confused, nothing is probably more confused than love. So what's the confusion with love? Okay. Yes. Okay. Right. Okay. Yes. So in that, I think that. Part of what I would just suggest and correct would be we can feel the love of God, or joy, right? The joy. Yeah. Yes. 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 Right.
And sometimes we see it, just like God's correction is love.
Yes.
God's will is love. And sometimes it hurts and we have to go through it. But you know what? It's love. But so many people do not see it as that they see it as mean.
Right.
Or hate.
Right.
Because their view of love is so important.
Right. Right, but that would be a faulty view of Jesus and love. Yes, John, raise your hand next to John. I'm teasing. I'm looking at John and suddenly she comes. I'm like, I can't say no to Eileen. Go ahead, John. I'm teasing you.
Generally,
Yes. Let me ask a question. So, how would you defend covenant love, which is contractual? That God is a covenant. What does that mean? Right. The beauty of, because I think, so as we think about covenants, which are important because they're in the Old Testament, it's a description of God's love, is that that covenant is met by the highest power. It is offered by the highest power and is met by the highest power where we see the gospel. Yes, Charles? Yes. Right. And that our faithfulness should be a response to the fact that he's already done that. What else? Faulty views of love. Prosperity. Okay, yes. And so the prosperity gospel declares that. Right, because God loves you. Which, yeah, by giving you stuff only. Does he love us by giving us stuff? No, I'm not questioning. I'm just saying explain. Yes. Yes. No, and I'm helping us to develop, so it's not measured by stuff, right? Stuff is there, but when we know the love of God, we're not looking and saying, really, is this it? That God, you just gave me, this is it? You know, God is really the one who has our affections. And so even as Christians, when we recognize, boy, I'm hugging the gift instead of the giver. Because we do that all the time. How do we do that? We grumble and complain. We'll see Israel doing that constantly. Sure. And what he takes away, because he's the one who actually is. Somebody, Douglas. Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you left it at home. That's why you had it, but you left it. Yes. Okay, yes, ma'am.
I just had a conversation with the kids on the way here this morning, not realizing the daylight savings time, wrap up and have breakfast. So one of them was eating Cheez-Its, one of them was eating Goldfish crackers, one of them was eating banana. And, you know, I said, this isn't the best breakfast, but we should have it in your stomach. And I talked about what our missionary came and taught us about what these parents have to give their children sometimes, and mud pies when they have something in their stomach. And it's not, the whole conversation was centered around, is it God good to us?
Right. Right.
So the perspective was, he doesn't love other people less because he doesn't provide for them.
Right.
But let's be thankful for what he has provided for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, there are hard things in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew a guy, and I'm kind of going all over with this, but I knew a gal that died and thinking that she was dying from cancer because she didn't have enough faith to pray for God to heal her. And she loved Jesus very much.
Sure. Right.
And walk with him knowing this.
Right. Yes, John. And then we're going to close.
Yeah,
Very good. Very good. That would be very true. And yet some of the people who are most content and enjoy the love of God and love God are often those that know him in their poverty as well and really rejoice. We're going to keep this going because we have God, man, sin, Savior, Christ the Savior, all of those things. We're going to talk about those and the confusions in our culture. These are very good discussions. Think about this, that often the things that we need to enfold into our conversations, right? And they might start from love. Somebody says something about love and you go, whoa, where did you get that definition? Because part of our definitions often will lead us to God, a conversation about God, his character. They may not get it all right there, but we're beginning to unfold and help them to understand, right? About love or about justice or about mercy or about what happens in catastrophes and all of those kinds of things. Those are going to be conversations that can always lead to wonderful conversations about the person of God. We'll talk about man. We'll talk about sin, the definitions and the judgments therein. We'll talk about salvation and a Savior, and we'll talk about our response to the gospel as well. And so this has been good. Continue to think about that. Continue to, as you think about God, think about what are the things that a person needs to become aware of, because without holiness, there is no sin, right? So if we just have this generic view of God, the conversation doesn't help them to understand I'm a sinner, right? And I need a Savior. No need for Christ. And if I need a Savior and he died for it, I need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus that I might be saved. And what does that all look like? And is this God who we're talking about worthy of my affections and my attention and all of that? So I would encourage you to think about how would you describe the person of God, the attributes of God? What conversations could those come into? And unfold those into the conversations with your friends as well. So let me pray. Father, thank you for just a good discussion. And as we'll be walking through the gospel in the next couple of weeks, I thought we'd get through a lot of it today, but we only began to touch on you, Father, and we recognize, even in our conversation, to say one sentence about God is so inadequate in some ways that we recognize more and more that we want to bring in. And may that be the truth about our conversations, not only here in Sunday school, as we who have come to know you and are knowing you in a deeper, richer, fuller sense, but our joy would now be to share an understanding of God and his mercy and his love in Christ Jesus, his justice with others as well. And so, Father, just continue to help us to grow as we think about what does it mean for us to very simply live out the gospel, to proclaim it, and to delight in it. And may we delight in it this morning as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth on the side of the curtain of the Holy of Holies, which has been torn in two because of the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has been shed. And we are so grateful and thankful. May we find joy there, but may we also find the profound privilege of being in the Holy of Holies. And may we quiet our hearts in a reverent reality to recognize the fullness of what it means to be in your holy presence. May we not take that lightly. And grant us the grace to know the fullness of your love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.